right here at Shark Passes Gallery this afternoon, 4:06 in the afternoon. And who do I have on the line with us but Congressman Jeff Duncan up there in Washington, D.C.? And I'm hoping that he's going to be able to tell us that we're close to a deal up there. It's going to be great for the country, and everybody will be able to get on with the business of Christmas. Congressman Jeff Duncan, could that be true?
Good afternoon, Ann. I cannot report that a deal has been reached. One thing I can report to you is that, you know, Republicans in Congress are not going to just willy-nilly raise taxes on Americans and give an irresponsible government more money to spend after we saw the Obama administration burn through $2.4 trillion over the last 16 months since we raised the last debt ceiling. It would be irresponsible for this Congress to just raise taxes without making significant reforms to what is getting us into more and more debt, without making significant reforms to our spending addiction here in this nation.
Well, you know, I did notice that House Speaker John Boehner said that he was willing to work with this. Now, how are those that are against doing this working with this?
Well, I mean, you know, there's got to be serious negotiations going on, and the White House has to lead on this. President Obama and his Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, rolled out a plan over the weekend that was ludicrous at best. It said, "Look, we're going to raise taxes on the wealthiest of Americans, and at the same time, we want to inject another stimulus into America. We want to spend more money through a stimulus package. And while we're at it, why should we have to come back to Congress every time the nation reaches its debt limit? Let's just do away with that debt ceiling. Let's do away with the need to come to Congress in order to borrow money. Let's just indefinitely have the opportunity just to spend whatever we need in order to keep the nation going, when our founding fathers gave Congress the explicit responsibility to borrow any money ever." And so they want to do away with that constitutional check and balance on the federal government. We're not going to go along with that. So that plan was ludicrous at best. It's time for him to get serious and put a real plan on the table that not only addresses his need for more revenue, but also addresses our need to address the spending in this country, the patterns that are getting us into the need to borrow more money and indebt our children and grandchildren. At the rate we're going, by 2016, it looks like we're going to over $20 trillion, and that's not counting all the unfunded liabilities that are hanging out there that really jack that number up to about $100 trillion.
Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, how is this going to be reached? Because a lot of conversation is out there is that maybe the President Obama and the Democrats would like us to go over this fiscal cliff.
Well, I don't know. I can't give you any information. I'm not privy to those negotiations that are going on other than what we're told. My leadership is here in the House has gotten a message from our conference that we don't want to see any grand bargain that doesn't include some significant reforms. And now whether we are going to have to raise taxes on someone as a Congress is yet to be seen. I don't plan on voting on raising taxes. I believe that's that goes contrary to what I told the voters that I would do or not do here as their congressman. It also goes contrary to what I believe stimulates real job creation and pro-growth policies. And so we're going to end up with some sort of plan, or we're going to go over the fiscal cliff, which means tax rates go up on everybody. You know, they're going to try to lay the blame on us, and that we're being obstinate. We're not. We've passed a plan back in July that extended the Bush tax rates, and it also dealt with sequestration. We passed two bills that dealt with two of the fiscal cliff issues all the way back in July. The president just this week came out with his plan over the weekend that I detailed a few moments ago that was ludicrous at best.
So I guess we could say you guys aren't close to a deal at this moment.
Yeah, I don't know where our leaders are as far as working with the president and the White House on trying to create or craft another deal that brings us closer together. I just know where we are, where we were earlier in the week and where we were this morning at our conference meeting based on looking for some real leadership out of the White House on this issue. they have some culpability in this, and that we're at a position in this country because we spend too much money, and he wants to go on spending more of the tax dollars, and in a lot of ways irresponsibly by more stimulus spending.
Have you heard anything from the Republican side on how to deal with this? I mean, I've heard about closing the loopholes on the tax code. But, you know, one of the things I never see addressed is maybe cutting out some jobs if that's necessary, cutting back some of the offices, maybe consolidating some offices, doing some things on small levels that add up.
Well, we should do that at the federal level with all the government agencies. We've offered over my first 2 years in Congress a number of plans through continuing resolutions where we would collapse some agencies. We would end some duplicative programs and offices. I know the House has shown to lead by example and that we cut our own budget. I think our budgets here have been cut about 15%. That's not counting what I cut. Myself, my own budget. I'm just talking about Congress as a whole has cut its budget by 15%. But yet we still see the president continue to travel on vacation, to play a lot of golf, to take his wife to New York, and all the things. The White House hadn't cut their budget at all. And so we're trying to lead by example here. Now, I do agree. We should eliminate some agencies. We should eliminate some programs. We should eliminate all the low-hanging fruit, which is the duplicative programs where multiple agencies are doing the same thing, where one agency should be responsible. There's a lot of easier ways to save money, but you know, I feel like we're beating a dead horse here because the White House doesn't ever seem to want to go along, even though sometimes their rhetoric says we're gonna deal with entitlement spending, we're gonna make real reforms, but when it comes down to laying a plan on the table and actually getting serious and making those real reforms, they seem to retreat from that position.
Well, Jeff, the 1st of January, that's the end of the line. But I have heard that another week and a half, y'all are gonna finish up. What if a deal hasn't been made? Will we just let it go, or is there a conversation about doing a little budget to be able to get to the big budget after the first of the year? Do you think that's a good idea, or should the lame duck address it now? Because basically, the lame duck hasn't changed that much from what it's going to be after the first of the year.
The lame duck is just that, is a lame duck, and you know, I go back to the thing I've said many times. Do we want to give members of Congress who have one foot out the door, either they were defeated in November or they decided to retire from Congress, do we want to give them an opportunity to vote on long-term policies that affect America when they're not accountable to the voters anymore? You know, that's a question we should ask ourselves. But look, if we go over this fiscal cliff, so to speak, if we reach January 1st and we haven't reached a deal, you know, I personally don't see that as the end of the world because nothing is permanent. Tax rates will go up at the beginning of the year, but that doesn't mean that the next Congress early in January can deal with making structural changes to tax policy to reduce those rates back to where they are common sense, and I think they're common sense right now under the rates that we have currently existing, and those are rates established by George W. Bush and extended under the beginning of the President Obama term. So it's not the end of the world. But nobody wants to go over that cliff necessarily. We have the opportunity right here with 3 or so weeks left to go in the year. We have the opportunity to deal with it. We can deal with it. Republicans have dealt with it already. We dealt with it in July. That's how serious we were about it. We passed a bill that would extend those rates to keep us away from going over the cliff. And also deal with the sequestration or the across-the-board cuts that will start early in January.
Well, now, Jeff, you know, you have been a small business person. You've had your own auction business. Of course, now you're in Congress. If you were sitting on the other side of the fence like I am as a small business person and as there are hundreds of thousands of small business people, what would you be saying to yourself?
Well, I'd be preparing for the worst and hope for the best. And I would hold responsible those, in the administration and others that don't want to seem to address the real issue at hand. It's not just tax rates. Tax rates go up, well, then and Obama and his administration, they want some tax rates to go up because they want more money to spend. They see that we can divide this country, and we can target the wealthiest of Americans, and we can vilify and demonize those 2% of Americans that happen to make more than $250,000 a year. We can target them with tax increases and win a political battle by raising taxes on them to generate more revenue. But in reality, Ann, what raising rates from 36 to 39.6%, I think is what it is, what that means is about $80 billion a year. I'll be generous and say it'll generate $100 billion a year for the argument purposes. That funds government for about 8 days.
It's really not worth it.
Pause was for dramatic effect there.
Yeah.
8 days of government spending is all that the president is talking about. It's not about raising revenue for the government to spend. It's about vilifying and demonizing a certain class of people in this country. This is class warfare coming out of the Obama administration to target folks that are being wealthy in the eyes of a lot of folks in this country. But we're talking about his proposal to fund government for 8 days. Now, we can do that, or we can get serious about the situation of this country, the fact that we're $16.3 trillion in debt. And then if we go along with the president's proposal, we're going to be more in debt than we can ever imagine or, in my opinion, hardly ever repay. We've already exceeded the gross national product of the country, or the gross domestic product of the country. So with the amount of debt that we've got. So we want to be serious. Republicans say, instead of just doing the easy thing and raising tax rates on 2% of Americans just to say you've done it, and knowing that it won't meet all of our needs, why don't we address the real problem, and that's our spending, the spending side of the equation. And that's kind of where we are.
Have you had any opportunity to have any conversations with Speaker John Boehner?
I have seen the speaker a couple of times. I've listened to him. I have not had any direct conversations with him. I have had conversations with the Majority Leader Eric Cantor just a little while ago on the floor. I had conversations with the whip, Kevin McCarthy. I've had conversations with the former conference chairman, Jeff Hensling, and conversations with the current conference chairman, which is Kathy McMorris Rodgers. And so talking with the leadership team. But we've got to trust in that small group to go and do our bidding for us, because we couldn't take 242 of our Republican conference and go try to negotiate anything. We have to elect the leadership team, and we have to let them do their job to try to get the best deal for the American taxpayer, and that's really what it comes down to.
And how are you feeling? Are you feeling confident after the conversations and speaking with them?
I know the work's being done. I can't feel real confident knowing who's in the White House and what he continues to try to do in dividing this country. And so I'm hoping that there is a better deal that's offered from the White House, because the debt clock's running right now. As we speak, more debt's being added on to the nation for someone to pay, either us or our children or grandchildren in the future. And so I am trusting my leadership to try to get the best deal that they can to present a deal to this conference and to the United States Congress and to the American people to look at before we vote on. I hope that Republicans have some sort of influence on what that deal will be. I've told you many times one of my frustrations of being in Congress is here. I'm a team player as long as we're running our plays. But when we start running the plays of the other team and the other team knows what those plays are, it puts us behind the eight ball, and it's hard for me to be a team player when we're running the other team's plays, and that's what we've done when we've run Harry Reid's plays or taken up Harry Reid's legislation in the House. And so I'm trusting my leadership will have some influence on the deal, and when I see the deal, I'll be glad to comment about it and decide whether I'm going to vote for it and whether it's going to be the right thing for America.
Absolutely. Well, I know that information, they are still gathering information on Benghazi. We still have that as an issue up there. Susan Rice, I know what you sent a letter about that he should not. Is that right, Susan Rice?
I did. We about 100, I think 97 to 100 congressmen joined me on that letter we sent to President Obama and said, look, because Susan Rice was used as the mouthpiece of the administration to mislead the American people about what truly happened in Benghazi on September 11th of 2012, we believe she's tainted in this issue or contaminated to some degree with being part of that ruse of the American voters, especially several weeks before an election for some intended purpose. Whether she did it intentionally or unintentionally, she was involved. She has some culpability in that. I don't believe she's the right person to be Secretary of State of this nation. If we have some doubts about her trust and integrity, if other world leaders have their doubts about what she's saying, whether that's the truth or whether it's part of some other elaborate ruse, I just don't believe she's the right one. And so it's not necessarily about trying to tarnish her in any way, but I believe she does she has tainted somewhat in this whole Benghazi scandal. And if she and others want to question anybody, they should question elements of the Obama administration about why she was used on 5 Sunday talk shows to mislead the American people.
Absolutely. And final question, are you prepared to be up there for Christmas if it was needed?
Absolutely. Listen, I think about the soldiers and General George Washington at Valley Forge. They were away from their families. They were cold. They were miserable. They were hungry. They didn't have shoes, and they crossed the river in the ice and snow and went and fought the Hessians and others over there in Trenton to try to create a country of freedom and freedom-loving people who could have self-governance. And I think about those people. I'm absolutely prepared to stay here in Washington, bring my family up, or just miss Christmas with my family in order to, save the Republic known as the United States of America, but to at least address the issues that I've been charged to deal with as United States Congressman representing the folks of the 3rd District. And so if we've got work to do here, there's no reason we should break and go home for any holiday. We should do the work. Because I tell you, those people at Valley Forge, they did the work for us so many, many years ago, and some died for our freedom at that point in time. Those were hardships. These aren't hardships. Being away from my family for Christmas, that isn't a hardship. And so I'm prepared to do whatever it takes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it's really kind of bothered me there, Jeff. They're talking about first of the month it was 14 days, and, you know, I'm looking at this thing. I think you guys need to stay till a deal can be hammered out, if one can be hammered out.
Well, ask where the president is. I mean, he's leaving December 17th to go to Hawaii for 3 weeks. So, he's been absent. He's been absent ever since he took office the very first time. He's been on the golf course. He's been on vacations, spending taxpayer dollars on multimillion-dollar houses in Hawaii, and being absent in the debate, had to sign the debt ceiling increase with an auto pen because he was overseas somewhere. Look, he needs to get engaged in this. He needs to get engaged in this and show some real leadership. And if that means dragging himself up Pennsylvania Avenue to here to the halls of Congress to work with us on a real solution to the issues that we have, we welcome that. If he's going to be absent, then he just needs to be absent and let us deal with it and accept what we passed as the United States Congress.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, I really appreciate you taking the time to let us know what's going on up there, and I certainly hope you do get to come home for Christmas and with some good news for all of the citizens of the United States.
Well, I hope so, too, Ann. Thank you for being so patient with me and my ramblings today, but listen, I'm passionate about this, and I'm not just passionate about us not going over the fiscal cliff. I'm passionate about us bringing real solutions up, real solutions to the problems, dealing with those, and they're not just quick-term fixes of targeting or demonizing one particular set of folks in America. It's about addressing what got us in this situation and what we can do to keep from getting in this situation again.
Absolutely. Well, God bless, and thanks so much for calling us.
Thank you, and God bless you. We'll talk soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.